You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on Test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's episode, we have a friend of the show, Sandeep, joining us from the UK. Hello, Sandeep. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Ajit. Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We know that you do a great job with Cricket Slouch, you and SP. So always happy to have a co-podcaster as a co-host. And, the flow is easier. Let me put it like this.
I have to say that, your podcast is one of the ones that I look forward to, because you cover all the important matches and events that happened in the last week. So if I miss following cricket for 1 week, your podcast is the go-to media for me, really, to listen to all the catch up with all the stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you for the big up. It helps us. And of course, we try to do our best, and there's enough that drops off. Probably it's the niche of what we are looking to do, and That's what we need to probably follow. And this sort of encouragement always helps. To hear that somebody actually looks forward to it or something is fantastic to hear. Thank you very much. And let's hope we keep doing this as things continue and see where we go to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And of course, I should thank also our friends like you who come on our podcast, give their time, and make it happen, right?
It's my pleasure.
Perfect. We should probably kick it off with the India-England, I wouldn't call it the decider, but the last match of the series. But maybe with the World Test Championship points at stake, nothing will be taken lightly. There's no dead rubber syndrome, is there?
That's true. Having said that, I think some of the pressure is definitely off, isn't it? They won the series. It was a hard-fought win, to be honest. All the matches were quite close. Right. England had their chances in all of the matches. So it was a hard-fought win. So I think 3-1 is a good scoreline for this series. But having said that, as you mentioned, World Test Championship points are also important. So I don't think they should be taking this one lightly. So they should try to win this one as well and make it 4-1.
Indeed. Or for that matter, if you are looking at an England perspective, it would still be a big deal because a lot of things are at stake. As much the baseball approach has rejuvenated Test cricket and other things we say, England have now really faced their first real challenge touring away and playing in the conditions that are as far different as can be, let's just say. When they come and play in India, for example, they mastered Pakistan. But when it came to India, I think they still found some tricky pitches. So let's start there. From your perspective, for the fifth test, given that Dharmashala is a very, probably more familiar to England. This is nothing but, early season England pitches, probably Dharmashala, what
Yes.
they'll encounter. Because we saw the temperatures were sub 10 degrees. It was 8 degrees, 9 degrees there.
Yes, yeah.
So from that perspective, if you were to look at the team selections for the two teams, what are your thoughts? Let's start with India, please.
Right. I mean, it's difficult to gauge really what sort of pitch Dharmashala would be, because there has been only one test so far there. I think it was in 2017 versus Australia, I think. I think that pitch actually, I mean, it favored the spinners actually, if you look at the scorecard there. And that was in March as well. I think the situation was, the conditions were more or less similar to what it is now. Yeah, I mean, as far as India is concerned, I don't expect any massive change. I mean, Bumrah is coming back, so I think he will be back into the side. I think they will still play Siraj. And I think they will play the three spinners. I mean, Kuldeep had a good outing in Dharmashala against Australia. He got 4 wickets in the first inning, so I think he will still be there. I don't probably Akshar will have to be left out again. I don't think he will be there. It will be Ashwin Jadeja and Kuldeep. Batting again, I don't see much changes. I mean, Patidar's position is a bit of a question mark really, because he has not got going along really. But I mean, if there is one test that he can be given another chance, it is possibly this one, isn't it? Because there is no pressure. There is no pressure, and Padikkal is opening batsman there, so there is no vacancy there. So I guess Patidar will get the nod ahead of Padikkal. I mean, it's up to him to prove his chance. If he's given the chance, he needs to prove himself that he belongs in the test arena, because that's not what he has done so far. He has really struggled in the last three test matches. So part of me feels sorry for him, because I think whether he's the number four batsman, I'm not sure, but he's stepping into very big shoes, left by Kohli and by Rahul. So it's not easy to step into such big shoes, really. So, yeah, maybe if he was given a go at number six, he might have done somewhat better. I don't know, but yeah, so remains to be seen. I think he will play. I think he'll get another chance, to be honest.
And let's hope he makes it count, right? So simply
Yeah.
because, again, on him, the pressure is off, right? It's a
Yeah.
one-off. I mean, there is a history, but now at this point in time, it's a one-off. It's a pressure-free match. Maybe you can express yourself a bit more freely, and hopefully, that gives him the freedom. Even a good 50 might give him and the selectors some thought, right?
That's true. Yeah.
If he fails to make that, it might very well be, he might have to go back and earn his way back up again from
Yeah.
the domestic circuit. But I heard something very interesting from you just now, that you expect three spinners to play in Indian team.
Yeah, I would. I mean, who else would you think would get ahead? I mean, Akashdeep did bowl better. Did bowl quite well, didn't he? I mean, especially in the first inning.
Oh no, I
But
understand that. No, I was going the
yeah.
other way, where I would say, as harsh as it is, maybe Kuldeep will have to make way simply because of the prowess that Jadeja and Ashwin have between the two of them together. And in case one of them needs to be rested, that's why I think Akshar has been drafted in. I don't see Ashwin resting. It's his 100th test.
No.
Maybe Jadeja might be given a rest, or maybe there's a niggle for one of the bowlers, one of the spinners. We don't know who, right? Then you can think of it that way. But I would not rest if they both can play. Jadeja and Ashwin should play together and try and win this test, right? But
Yeah.
then I would bring in Bumrah in place of Kuldeep, as unjust as that might sound.
Yeah.
That's the chance. Now that they have said they want to play Pathidar, I would have otherwise even gone one step ahead, pushed the envelope a little, and then, tried to see if we can include three spinners and three fast bowlers. Maybe it's a bit much on a test match. It's excessive, but I'm just thinking out loud here. But I think they would have gone maybe Devdutt Padikkal instead of Pathidhar, but then the bowling would still have been five bowlers, but only two spinners. That's my thought, looking at the pitch, looking at the condition. It looks like Edgbaston, the Dharamsala pictures from today, somebody had put
on
Twitter, I think. So when you look at that, Sa Gomesh, I think is the name of the Twitter account, he had put it
right
up. And when you see that, you're like, is this is this Edgbaston? Is this Rose Bowl? Where is this?
Yeah, I mean, the weather conditions are quite poor there. I mean, 5 degrees was what they said. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I still think it will be a bit slow pitch, to be honest. It has behaved slow. I mean, Kuldeep has done well there. That's why I'm saying that Kuldeep has to be picked.
Clear.
But let's see. Yeah.
Let's see. And from England perspective, they're also keeping their cards very close to the chest. Any chance somebody might make way for Dan Lawrence? Maybe even Ollie Pope, do you think?
Well, Ollie Pope got that majestic century in the first test, isn't it? I think it will be a bit hard to drop him. Although he hasn't done much since. I think, I don't think Ollie Pope has really mastered spin. I mean, that was a one-off innings, really. He's in the last test match, you could see how he was struggling to actually play Ashwin or Jadeja. So, Dan Lawrence is an option, but I don't think so. I think they will stick. I mean, that is one of the concepts of baseball, isn't it? That they stick with the players they play and not drop just because of a couple of failures or something like that. So
they back them. They understand, the chance with which the way you want to play might mean you have more failures than normal because that style of play encourages that sort of results.
Yeah.
It's all or nothing sort of almost. So
yeah, that's right.
Let's see.
Yeah,
they have a chance that they would probably look to see if they would also get. We were looking at the other fast bowler in the 11 if he can get in, right? The one that's on the in the squad. We don't know his fitness, of course, right? So it remains to be seen if he can also be introduced.
I think Ollie Robinson has to make way, really.
Yes, Ollie Robinson will make way, barring anything really, really strange at the last minute. Because the guy I was looking at is
Gus Atkinson. Yeah,
Gus Atkinson and Mark Wood. There are two potential possibilities. Yeah. And I don't know. They only have two good spinners because Joe Root can always bowl. And Anderson himself might be rested. They might simply go with Wood and Atkinson.
Atkinson, yeah.
It's a bold move, if you ask me. But that's still a possibility.
Yeah. Although, I mean, Anderson, this might be the best conditions for him, Dharamsala. So, I mean, he does revel in English conditions, doesn't he? So, that might be the reason.
He might not want to be dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
He might say, if not here, where?
Yeah.
So, I would say, okay, because no, what you read the pitches, it was slow previously, right?
Yeah.
And only the overhead conditions are more, let's say, conducive to fast bowling.
That's right, yes.
So from that perspective, you have a real, question on the hands, how you would actually choose. But I think both teams are playing it very close to the chest. And I have a feeling Anderson will play and maybe only one of Wood and Atkinson will play. This guy will make way for sure.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
Robinson will definitely make way. He didn't look 100% fit. Apparently, he tweaked his back batting in that first innings and so on. So we'll see how things go. But
yeah,
do you expect England to come all out? Again, it's a one-off, right?
Yeah. I put India down as the favourites for this final match, I think.
With Bumrah coming back. Right?
Yeah, Bumrah coming back. And also, I think our batting has been quite good, isn't it? I mean, Jaiswal is playing well. Gill, I would like Gill to put in that dominating performance. I mean, he has made useful contributions, but I've not seen Gill make that performance where he wins the match by himself. So that's something I would like to see.
No, I would say his third innings 100 in that third test, I think may have been decisive.
Test.
And the fourth innings 50
90,
was equally
90.
good. It was not a big innings, but I know what you mean. You want him to boss the game, make a big
Yeah,
double
exactly.
100, and
Yeah.
that's a good one. He might very well be heading into it. And if that means, there's a little bit less pressure on somebody like Pathidar coming in at four,
Yeah.
so be it. And he can convert it as well. Maybe make a quick fire 50, bat freely.
Yeah.
And then, it'll be carnage. But that's a lot to go by, if that's the question I was going to put to you next. If India were to win the toss, what would they do? And vice versa. If England were to win the toss, what would they do? Your thoughts?
I think both would take batting, to be honest. I mean, it depends on the conditions as well. If it is very overcast, I don't know, maybe they better be tempted to have a go at the bowling. But if not, I think it would be probably batting both of them.
Okay, you ride it out for
Yeah.
an hour and a half, maybe one session,
Yeah.
and then you come back. And you, yeah, that would be conventional wisdom. I agree with you. You don't look at the overhead conditions too much more than is required.
That's right, yeah.
You just make sure you focus on the overall picture, where it's a 4 day, 5 day game, and you have to bat out a day and a half, the first day and a half, make the best of it, right? So let's see if that's how it pans out. But I expect the same, by the way. And I also think India will edge it. It'll not be an easy victory. It'll be a tough
No.
match, but I expect India will edge the game. So let's see if
That's
that
right,
comes to pass. Well, there are four centurions in test matches coming up. This is a very rare thing in test cricket that, there are two test matches starting on two different parts of the world. One is in New Zealand, where New Zealand take on Australia in the second of the tests, and India take on England in the fifth of the series, right? And Ashwin, Bairstow, Saudi, and Kane Williamson. Now, four centurions on the same day. That's a real great thing for test cricket, I would say. But the question is, if you were to look at the start of their careers, Sandeep, whom did you expect to not make the 100 test? Let me ask you like that.
Well, it has to be Johnny Bairstow, isn't it? Well, Johnny Bairstow, I mean, I put him down as a excellent white ball player. I didn't expect him to do as well as he has done in red ball cricket. His batting was perfectly suited for white ball cricket. But I think he has the weakness when it comes to playing balls that keep straight, isn't it? I mean, the number of times you see him getting bowled or LBW, balls that are basically coming straight onto him.
Right.
I thought that weakness would finish him off. And actually, if you look at it, I mean, he was not the first choice keeper for a long time, and they used to play him as a keeper, isn't it? Along with
Yes.
Butler, along
Now
with
for the
Butler, so
flexibility that he
that's right.
brings.
Yeah, so Butler used to be the first choice most of the time, and Bairstow used to get left out. But I mean, he when he did come back, it was purely as a batsman, isn't it? During the pass ball era, and
Absolutely.
yeah,
I was
and
about
they,
to
I
point
mean,
that out. No, he's one of
yeah.
the biggest beneficiaries of this thought process,
Absolutely.
the basketball thought process.
Yeah, so I think that playing as a pure batsman helped him considerably. I think he promoting himself to number five because he initially played mostly at number seven as a when he was wicket keeping. So I think that in fact the first basketball series against New Zealand in 2022, I think it was basketball was basically Bairstow, really Bairstow. With his counter attacks and all this stuff. So, and
I mean,
even that's a one match against India, it was really
exactly
Bairstow,
double
isn't it?
hundred
Yeah,
or two
that's right.
hundreds, not double hundred, but two hundreds.
Yeah, two
So
hundreds.
that chase of 370 was achieved with such ease on the fourth innings.
Yeah.
You would actually think, is this really a one day style cricket?
Yeah.
And that was sort of the stepping stone for England to go on and play that brand of cricket, because it got sort of a approval in the way
Yeah.
that approach paid off. But then I think he's not been the same force since that golfing accident.
No, that's true. I mean, he did play the Ashes. I mean, he did wicket keeping that as well, but I don't think he was yeah, I mean he played some good innings, but I don't think he was that big a force really. And even in India, I don't think he did he get a 50 in one of the matches, first match or
No, no, I don't think he's got even a
something.
50 yet
No,
on
that's
the
right.
store.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. So he has struggled since. I think one of the weaknesses, as I said, I mean, he struggles against the balls that keep straight. So that's a big weakness. And but he has got 200. He has got an average of 36, which is not bad for somebody who played lower down the order for most of the time, along with wicket keeping. So I think satisfactory career for him, I would say.
Indeed.
Test career, yeah.
Not bad at all. And frankly, the tenacity with which he plays is the characteristic. How he looks, how he plays, it's pretty much tenacious, and he's maintained it. And that's a fantastic thing to have. He's one of the examples of batters who's maximized their talent. Rather than looking manner born, he's always had to scrap, to be in the team. And he always has, as if he, even in his most comfortable, he's looked like he's answering someone rather than, looking comfortable by himself. But that's his character, I suppose. But then congratulations to Bairstow. I mean, I don't think we need to discuss either Kane Williamson or Ashwin. But for me, the other name, Tim Southee, I never expected will make 100 tests either.
No, neither did I. I think Tim Southee, when he came, he was more of a swing bowler, wasn't he? I mean, he was getting a lot of wickets on very suitable pitches that suited his kind of bowling. So I didn't expect him to do better outside of New Zealand or probably England. But I mean, he changed this. I think he improved his other skills as well as he aged, really. So I think he became more versatile in his bowling, and did well in other conditions as well. So I think that's kept him going, and especially after the start of what they call as the wobble ball era, I think he developed that skill as well. So he has got better with he has got a bunch of tricks now as compared to when he started off his career. So
Indeed. I mean, he finds a way to keep taking wickets. He'll not be the most successful bowler out there, but another example of maximizing the talent you have. And he also had some discipline issues. He was a bit of a hellraiser in his younger days.
That's right, yes.
From that point in time to come to be the captain of New Zealand team leading, playing his 100 tests, right? So that's quite an achievement. And that has to be congratulated. I mean, see, they've had occasionally cricketers who've come and been lost to the setup, Jesse Rider, likes of which, right? This could have been another one of those, but somehow he persevered, or the right kind of things were said to him, and he sort of took it them the he took them the right way. He stayed the course. And always, I think we are also in a very prosperous era. If you are looking at fast bowling, probably the bodies are better maintained, right sort of breaks are given.
That's
You
right.
see Anderson carrying on and on, Methuselah
I
Anderson,
know.
I call him.
I
But
know.
it's a big deal, and we have to also celebrate that sort of commitment that somebody like Southee, Anderson, all of these people playing 100 tests for a fast bowler is to be something. I mean, if you remember what Truman used to say, he
Fred,
said, if you take 300 wickets, you'll be bloody tired getting them.
bloody tired, that's right, yeah.
Right? And to think that, somebody like Southee played 100 tests, you thought, he never had that much of a pace. People will
No.
pick him apart on, less helpful pitches. Nothing. He's persevered, and he's also won enough matches for New Zealand. He's there by right, not just by
Exactly.
seniority, and that itself is a big deal. So, well, congratulations to him. And of course, we cannot leave out Ashwin or Kane Williamson, both gems, stars of the game. There can be enough said about what they've done and what they've not done. I don't want to go there. I just want to congratulate them on such a big achievement, playing 100 tests. Putting your body through it, especially probably K. Williamson, the most of these four, I think, who've gone through a lot of injuries. You never
That's
know
true.
whether he'll play another test next, we thought, and so on and so on.
Exactly.
To think that he got there and now he's on the verge of playing 100. So I don't want to jinx it. I hope all four are fit and turn up on the
I
morning
know.
for their 100
I
test
mean,
and, take part in that.
I think Ashwin, I think he should have reached 100 much earlier. I mean, I think Ashwin is probably the best bowler who has been left out of the side a few times.
No, I mean, so there's a thought process of a set of leaders in every management, and sometimes you back it, sometimes you live by it, you die by it, right? And there are many questions that were raised when the number one ranked bowler was put on the bench in favor of somebody else. But Well, it's what it is, right?
It is.
His record purely in China countries doesn't really muster the close examination that somebody's like, Lyons might. I mean, the only other really successful off-break bowler in this era, Lyon, he's continually winning matches. So, that
Absolutely.
brings us to the New Zealand versus Australia game that finished. A wonderful exhibition to the test match fans, a wonderful exhibition if you're new to tests.
Yeah, absolutely. I think New Zealand lost the match in the first innings itself, isn't it? I mean, after reducing Australia to 279 for nine on day one, they let Cameron Green and Josh Hazlewood add how many? 114 runs for the last,
Correct.
115 runs for the
Correct.
last wicket. So that's where they lost the match, really. 382 was too much of a
I
score.
dare say I would go one step back from 176 for six when Carey was dismissed. The tail has put on more than 204 runs, whatever, right? So that is too much. That is where you're right that maybe, they kept trying and there was some bad luck there. There were some catches dropped. Matt Henry got a deserved 5 for. And you see Matt Henry now sort of putting the pack behind him and coming out as the leader of the others. Now that there's no Trent Bolt, there's a new guy on the horizon, William O'Rourke, because Neil Wagner decided to retire and
That's right,
Scott Coughlin was given a chance. But, that was the first part. The second part was their top order completely failing. 5 for 29 against an Australian attack. You have to concede that this is Stark, Hazlewood, Cummins, Lyon. I mean, never in the Test cricket history have been four bowlers with 250 plus continuously playing together. So yes, that's one of the most potent attacks out there. But from 5 for 29, you're already sunk. So it's very tough to recover. And Glenn Phillips showed a bit of character, scored a one day like 71. Matt Henry supported him with a 42, again, sort of brisk 42, tail end 42. Lyon showed his class. He took 4 for in the first innings. He went for some runs, but he cleaned the tail up. If you look at his wickets, it's Tom Blundell and below, so it's sort of middle and lower order only. So that's good work from Lyon because in those tests, he cannot get into the game any earlier, I suppose, than probably end of second day or midday after the second day and so on. He got in and he did what he needed to do. Batting again, Australia were sort of bundled out. For me, this new batting pair, the opening pair, Smith and Khwaja, have not really, shined a lot. They've not really sent the notices out, if I may put it like that. So Smith making a duck in the second innings. Khwaja again, those nuggety 20s, 30s, but not carrying on really. Khwaja is famous for batting well in the second innings. Marnus is struggling. So there are some issues that they'll want to address. Here again, New Zealand missed a trick, I thought. They let Nathan Lyon get his form going. They gave him some runs in the third innings. That was crucial. Instead of 164, if it had been 118, I don't know if the result would have changed, but maybe the way Australia would have won would have been a bit more tough. Because again, in the second innings, Ravindra and Mitchell looked solid. At the end of 3 days, you thought, there is something happening here. 268 to win, 2 days left. And Ravindra had gotten a double 100 not very long ago. And Mitchell can bat. He's a proper test match batter, we know. But then again, in the first half hour, this bowler Lyon steps up. He's killed the game, actually. The moment Hazelwood, sorry, Ravindra, Blundell and Glenn Phillips were dismissed in the matter of like 5 minutes of each other, the game died right there. Right? I was watching it. You have to but marvel at how well Lyon bowls. Again, if there is another career out there where, a limited set of talent, but classic approach and classic technique has been applied to that. And the career keeps going on and on. He took a 10 for again on a bowler's pitch, fast bowler's pitch.
I mean, he keeps getting better and better with age, does Lyon, isn't it? And
Right.
I mean, he has got the such a fantastic stock ball. He keeps bowling that over and over and over again.
Right.
So I think it will always fetch him the results that he likes. On Smith opening, I mean, it's a strange decision, isn't it? I mean, why would you? I mean, it's not as if you were struggling at number four, so why would you put
Maybe he
yourself
felt he
to?
was. I mean, that was the thing, right? He offered to bat at number one
That's
because
right.
they wanted to desperately include Green in his natural position, which would have been a four or a five.
That's
Given
right.
that Head and Smith were entrenched, there is no way to make that happen. So this guy sort of took one for the team, you can call it. But
I mean,
also, he didn't have the sort of returns he expected at
no,
that position in the last year or so.
no, that's true. I mean, normally people, as they start aging, they go down the order rather than go up the order. Smith is trying to go the other way. So anyway, the other thing is, I mean, Glenn Phillips got a 5-4 in the second
Yeah,
innings,
good point.
and he did not bowl in the first innings at all. So I don't know what New Zealand were thinking. They could have probably given him a few overs, especially when Hazelwood and Green
At the
went.
tail, right? Just
Yeah,
have him
exactly.
bowl, maybe get hit for
Yeah,
two fours and then take the
that's right.
wicket.
Yeah. But I mean, do you know what his bowling average is currently in Test cricket? It is 16, which is
Holy cow, not bad, huh?
I know. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think he's that great a bowler. I think it will regress towards the mean quite quickly. But he's quite a handy bowler, isn't he? I mean, he
Correct.
won a test. He won a test for them in Bangladesh as well, and
Exactly.
yeah. And now he's taken a 5-4 on a New Zealand pitch against Australia, which is quite impressive. So, yeah, I think he's a better bowler than Ruchin Ravindra, to be fair.
Ravindra might grow into it. I mean,
Yeah.
as their careers progress, Ravindra is younger, but also he's more classically molded. He's been bowling classically for longer. And probably he'll settle down and become a more classic spinner. You know, between these two, they have kept the likes of there was a guy used to call him the beast, a left-handed batter, a right-arm off-break bowler.
Yeah.
He used to play in ODIs, and sort of they've kept him out. Bracewell, right? They've
Oh,
kept him out
Bracewell, yes.
completely.
Michael Bracewell, yeah.
Michael Bracewell, right? I
Yeah.
also he got injured and lost his position. They've not let him recover. And even I dare say, the what Rachin Ravindra brings with the bat and ball together, even Santner might be feeling threatened when it comes to the longer format on less than helpful pitches for spin.
Yeah.
Right? Between these two, they're again sort of filling that niche. They neither of them is a full bowler yet.
Yeah.
But then with what they do with the batting, instead of including a Mitchell Santner between these two, they fill that gap. So this is
Yeah.
again a captain's dream if you're only thinking of it as captain,
Yeah.
right? That's what I'm looking at rather than anything else. But coming back to this test, you're right. New Zealand missed a couple of tricks. I don't blame purely the captain, but sometimes Saudi does look a one-trick pony when sort of, you know, somebody like. It's a tough thing to put Brendan McCullum in a category of any other skippers. He was used fairly
That's true.
unique in his thought process, right? You saw how Michael Vaughan, how these guys captained, okay, Michael Vaughan, Brendan McCullum, right? Saudi probably either going to grow into it or he has a limited repertoire when it comes to that sort of a thought process. But it's all
Sure.
right. I would say that's a
Also,
learning.
yeah. Also, the fielding was quite atrocious. They dropped a lot of
Yes,
catches.
lot of drop kicks.
And did
Saudi
you watch
himself
the
dropped some catches in the slip.
Did you watch the Williamson run out? I mean, that was
Oh
schoolboyish,
God.
wasn't it? The first, I mean,
I mean,
what?
I tweeted it out saying, you know, as much as I like the cricketers involved, that's like it belongs with that village cricket. There's such a parallel
Exactly,
there.
exactly. That's
That's
what.
very village.
Yeah, very village.
And that sort of embarrasses you, considering, you know, you've played 100 tests. And the other, you collide with the other guy and you collide into the bowler, and the bowler
I
stalk is
know.
like looking on, like, what's going on here?
Yes.
That was a bit embarrassing, but all right, it can happen. I mean, we do say cricket is a great leveler. You might be Williamson. Look, that's what happens to you.
That's right,
All right. So, but going on to the next test, do you see New Zealand being able to come back, or do you expect that Australia will still find a way? I had said this in the previous game. When we were previewing the previous game, the first game, I had said Australia will still somehow find a way. What are your thoughts? Will New Zealand make it because they're playing at home?
Well, I mean, New Zealand, they've not been that great. I mean, they won against South Africa. That was against a weak South Africa team. And the second match was not that easy, was it? I mean, South Africa did put up a good fight. And
Right.
then quite recently, they lost their home test to Bangladesh, isn't it? New Zealand. And also, they against Sri Lanka, they won by just last wicket win or something like that. That was quite an exciting match last year. So the New Zealand are not, I mean, previously they used to win most of the time, but they always struggle against Australia though. Australia always tend to do better in New Zealand. Having said that, Australia recently lost the match to West Indies. so that's something. So, yeah, I mean, New Zealand could come back, but I think Australia are the favourites going into this.
I agree. You know, it's a Wellington pitch. If anything, that trio of fast bowlers will really enjoy that, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So, it's a bit of a tough one, but let's see if New Zealand, they keep surprising us. I mean,
yeah, they do.
So maybe they'll still pull out another surprise, but otherwise I would think, you know, Australia have already won or they have retained the Trans-Tasman trophy. So the question is, can New Zealand sort of draw the series? And of course, as we already mentioned, there are some points at stake.
Absolutely.
New Zealand are not doing particularly well either on the table.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. There was another test match. Again, Ireland versus Afghanistan, a fantastic, fantastic advertisement for the classic game because, you know, Afghanistan, you would expect, would do much better. They were playing in Abu Dhabi Tolerance Oval and sort of in near home conditions where they practice and play a lot. They have sort of seemed to have moved away from some Indian pitches where they used to have a home. Now they are in the Middle East. They're practicing there. So a bit disappointing if you're an Afghanistan fan, or would you just simply take the win as Ireland taking their first ever test win?
I mean, to be fair, Afghanistan was missing Rashid Khan and Mujib, isn't it? So they didn't, the main bowlers were not playing. So they were a weakened team. But having said that, I mean, it's still a fantastic result for Ireland winning their first ever match, first ever test match. I mean, if you listen to what Balbani had to say, this is what he has been playing cricket all his life. So for him to be there, captaining the side to the first ever victory, that would have made him very proud indeed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a pity that Ireland and Afghanistan don't play too many test matches still, even after being granted the status for how long now, 4 or 5 years now. They still played only a handful of test matches, but hopefully... I don't think this will change much. I think the test match opportunities will still be quite rare, but hopefully they, I mean, the only way it can change is if they are included in as part of the World Test Championship cycle as well. But I don't know whether there is an appetite to include them going forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say it was a good win for Ireland, but Afghanistan did come back after their first innings collapsed to 155 all out. I think they did quite well in the second innings to at least put up a decent target for Ireland, isn't it? And Ireland were struggling at one point. They were 13 for 3 and 39 for 4. So, and Balbani then got his 50. I think it was... it was sort of poetic justice that Balbani was there when Ireland won the match, isn't it? So
absolutely. Look, he won them the match. He showed some grit. But for me, again, Afghanistan disappointed simply because they had a good chance at the end of day three, I think, right? With the way, let's just say, Hashmatullah Shahidi and even Noor Ali Zadran were batting. There was a chance that they could have set up a serious target. They had taken back the lead that Ireland had earned. And let's just say 24-3. You had the game on hand where you could have made Ireland sweat. Even if you had given them 125 or not 125, but maybe 150.
Yeah.
You thought they have a real chance. Another 30-40 runs. The way they started, it could have made it really tough. Maybe even it would have gone to the wire. That's the thing I'm seeing Afghanistan somehow miss. They somehow just fail at the crucial time. It's a learning curve, right?
Yeah, true.
And it has nothing to do with their bowling. It's just their top order. Somebody has to show a bit more grit.
Yeah.
Where you say you make that, I mean, I dare say Pujara has 29 ball. 29 of 100 balls.
Yeah.
Right? So then... you can see what is possible. And from there, you can actually go. That will give that time for the rest of the order to sort of get their feet in and sort of lose the panic. And then somebody will click. Nasir Jamal failed in second innings. Karim Janat was on form failed. There was a little bit of contribution from the tail, which is not a big deal, but the runs had to be made there between Rehmat Shah and Karim Janat. Second innings, even a crucial 20-17 will really matter. They were all out for single digits, many of them. That cost them the game, right? So it's a matter of those small margins. But Trott is a very experienced cricketer, and he probably will try to drill it into this Afghanistan team, because second time in two games when they played against Bangladesh, I had the same feeling. They were at a critical moment in the game where they faltered and the match was lost.
Yeah.
It happened again. So we'll see. As you say, some learning curve, but congratulations to Ireland on a wonderful first test victory.
Absolutely.
And may they get more tests again. It's like an entity to those that decide these things. Right. Yeah. All right. Moving on. There is a T20 series that has started between Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. What do we call it? Yeah. The Nagmani series? Or what do you call this? Right? All right. But, I mean, those were the days. I think these days it's all a bit more friendly. But in the T20 series, the first of the games, it was a really close affair. It's being held in Bangladesh. It was in Sylhet.
Yes.
And Sri Lanka batting first made 206 for 3 on the back of some good scores from the top order, with Charith Asalanka leading the Sri Lankan team, by the way.
Yes.
Right? So that's a very interesting development, given that there were some other players who you would have thought even temporarily taken the captaincy. There were Dasun Sharaka, Matthews, right? But then, all right, they went ahead with a new guy. Maybe a little bit of learning there, but the batting did well. Charith Asalanka himself batted really well. And those, I think they lost a little bit of control towards the end, Shariful Islam and Mustafizur Rahman. And that may have cost Bangladesh the game. When you look at it, there was some strong fight. You know, Mahmudullah, Zakir Ali was making a debut. And these guys really fought hard. And then it was again that last over. Where you thought, you know, you remember what happened when Angelo Matthews had bowled that, and the game was very, you know, narrowly lost against Zimbabwe. Yeah. The game was, the ball was given to Shanaka this time.
Yeah.
Pathirana, they somehow found a way to take 15 of Pathirana to make it a realistic game. And then in the last over, Shanaka showed his, let's say, the experience. Yeah. And he removed both Rishad Hussain and Zakir Ali, and I thought, by the way, Bangladesh will win. The momentum was on their side. So this was again a very topsy-turvy game. So maybe some very good matches that we can expect in the coming days. Yeah. Angelo Matthews bowled really well, by the way. He's now sort of an all-rounder in the team rather than a top-order who bowls. Top-order batter who bowls. So that's very nice. Yeah. And somebody like Dikwella, people like that, they're going to try, I think. They have rested some players. Some people that they know they're sure of. People like Kamindu Mendes is in the team. And Sadira Samaravikrama is batting up the order. So some interesting things they are trying. So a lot to look forward to.
I think, Sri Lanka, they made a lot of runs in the last 4 hours. They got 64 runs, Asalanka and Samaravikrama.
Right.
I think that's where probably the match was won, really. They got way beyond what was expected. And Bangladesh had the advantage of playing under in dewy conditions as well. So, but I think it was a fantastic last over from Shanaka. I mean, they're defending 12 runs. I think he got the wicket of the first ball, isn't it? And Zakir Ali, I mean, he did not take strike the last. I mean, he hit the four of the last ball of the penultimate over, and then he was stuck on the other side for three.
Rishad Hussain got out. Some inexperience. Nice. You have to run a single. Usually in a big chase, right, of last one, you need the first two balls or the crucial ones. You need a boundary, right? So probably a trick there. And Shanaka showing his experience, right? Got away.
Exactly.
But all right. Yeah. I expect some thrillers to come up anyway.
Yeah.
The rest of the series.
The Angelo Matthews timed out incident that refuses to die down. I mean, if you saw Shariful Islam when he dismissed Avishka Fernando, just go and watch it. I mean, he was pointing at his watch, Shariful Islam, at his imaginary wristwatch, as if recalling the incident of Angelo Matthews again. So I think that will remain part of this rivalry for the rest of Angelo Matthews' career.
As probably. I said, the Nagmani series, right? There has to be something there.
Yeah.
Why not? But all right, that's something to keep us cricket fans in the loop and interested, and let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
Now, moving on, there was another very interesting tri-series in Nepal.
Yes.
between host Nepal, of course, but Netherlands and Namibia. So in of interest because we are Netherlands fans in this podcast. So
Sure.
wonderful tri series, very narrowly contested, a very tightly contested series, I must say.
Yes.
Some records, lofty eaten of Namibia smashing a 33 ball 100, breaking the
Yes.
T20 record, right? Lots of things to discuss, but what are your thoughts on the series overall, Sandeep?
I think it was fantastic series, very close, as you said. I mean, Namibia just missed out because of no result in one of the matches, which was washed out,
Exactly.
isn't it? So
Yeah, but with the Netherlands.
that's right. And yeah, the 33 ball century by Jan, what's his name? Jan Eaton, is it?
Jan
Or
Eaton, Jan Lofty Eaton.
Jan Lofte Eaton, that's right. Yeah, that was, I mean, that he broke the record of Kushal Malla, who had got the 34 ball ton. That was in the Asian Games against Mongolia.
Right.
So, yeah, so the Kushal Malla was in the opposing team this time, playing
Well,
for Nepal.
he bowled even, I thought,
That's right,
and had
yeah.
a tough time, poor guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, so eventually, I mean, it was Netherlands and Nepal playing the final, and it was a great win for Netherlands, beating Nepal in Nepal, isn't it? So,
Right.
yeah, so was a, did they chase some 180 something, isn't it? Netherlands,
184. In fact,
that's
they
right.
Finals was a heroic game for me if you're a Netherlands fan, simply because,
Yeah.
look, Netherlands batted competitively throughout,
Yeah.
except for once they collapsed to 120. So it was all a big scoring game where they made 247 once, 180 a couple of times. And even in the final, chasing 180, they were probably feeling a bit confident. I thought
Yeah.
when you looked at the bowling, it was live on YouTube on some channel, so I was able to catch it.
All right.
And it seemed like Nepal had run out of ideas. They were bowling the same lengths, bowling not enough slower bowling, right?
Yeah.
Even the spinner that bowled was not exactly very slow. He was Deependra Singh Airy was the spinner. He was the successful one, 4 over 16 for one. And Kushal Malla took four. So, but their main bowlers, Karan Kesey and Sompal Kamy, were like targeted right at the top. And this is all thanks to the exploits of Michael Leavitt, who was a breakout star for Netherlands. Vikramjit and Max O'Dowd have been batting together at top of the order for a long time. So it took some guts for the management to separate them, I guess. But Michael Leavitt has really announced himself with a bang. Even in the final, chasing 184, between him and Max O'Dowd, they took Netherlands to 64, no loss in the power play. The precisely what you want, right? Vikramjit followed up decently. Sybrand Engelbrecht was the real hero because somehow Scott Edwards gave it away. And when Tejan Idamanur, who came to bat with Sybrand Engelbrecht, right, they were in a lot of trouble. Somehow the run rate had caught up, 3 overs 40 to win, right? There is one over of this sort of medium pace bowler, and really Sybrand Engelbrecht jumped all over it. First 4 balls went
Yeah.
for 20 runs, two sixes, two fours,
Right.
right? And then you got that belief back, but then you forget that Tim van der Gugten is actually a very capable bat.
Yeah.
I mean, a good hitter. I thought Nidamanaru lost the plot and
Yeah.
he gave his wicket away, but Engelbrecht also sort of got caught. And back to back in that one over of spin, you hit the ball and just hit it to long off long on and get caught out, trying to hit a six. Tim van der Gugten comes out and just calmly slams the first ball for six. That was like nerveless batting because he made 21 of 5 balls.
Five balls, yeah. I see
Right?
that. I
Fantastic batting. And
know.
you never thought Netherlands were going to win in those last 3 overs.
Yeah.
From there to see the way they played and won, the belief in this group is very high. And what this means for me as a fan is where they're going as a group, but more importantly, what it means for the upcoming T20 World Cup. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Especially maybe Namibia, Nepal perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that all these teams are playing these sort of tri-series matches, isn't it? So they're setting up their own sort of tours and getting to play more cricket, all in preparation for the T20 World Cup. So that's a good development as far as global cricket goes, really.
Okay, indeed. And Namibia, you feel, may have regressed a little. Nepal are holding their end of the bargain. Namibia may themselves feel they need a bit more prep. But with these teams also playing in the World Cup, you would expect some very exciting games. They might actually make it really tough for the established, the top 10, 12 teams, what we call them. it might be very, very interesting there,
Yeah.
right? So this for me, maybe the conditions might be a bit different, but if the pitches are more T20, like what we expect across the world, that might there may be some crackers in the World Cup. There may be some very exciting games and some surprises, let's just say,
Yeah,
right?
I don't think anybody should be taking these teams lightly anymore. I mean, they're all quite good teams really now. So, particularly the Netherlands, I mean, they had a good ODI World Cup as well. So, why
Correct.
can't they do better in T20? So,
No, I mean, also Aryan Dutt did a really good job.
oh, yeah.
And, Shahriz Ahmed on and off, people like Fred Klaassen, Tim van der Gucht, the moment they come back into this 11, it makes it a completely different bowling attack altogether. King Ma was excellent. Again, he's very on and off, King Ma. But in this tournament, he was good, right? So, from that perspective, the bowling attack looks solid, the top order looks solid. I mean, what else do you need in a T20 11, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So that was pretty encouraging if you're a Netherlands follower. And as I said, we really hope they give us some really memorable moments in the upcoming T20 World Cup. Now, moving on, well, a couple of news from off the field. So one is we had predicted that, Borishal Fortune will take the BPL 2024. At least I had predicted that. And
Yeah.
it came true. They looked the on-form team. Tamim Iqbal was the player of the series, the captain of Fortune Borishal. He even made runs in the final. So it was a middling sort of a chase, 154, maybe on slightly tired tracks. So it might not have
Yeah.
been that easy. But the top three made the work easy. So by the time, Kyle Mayers was out, Kyle
Yeah.
Mayers was the man of the match in the final,
He
they were
was, yeah.
141 chasing 154, right? Or 155. They sort of gave them the maiden title. So well done. Also, I think there are some sparks flying when Mushfiqur Rahim, who
Yeah.
he sees a fire, will probably take a can of petrol to it, challenged people saying, "Why do you call us the old people 11 or whatever?" Right? Because Mahmudullah, Mushfiqur Rahim, Tamim, there are a lot of older players, and there are some comments there from the locals, right? So all right, that was good that they went on to win. And Sunil Narine was actually opening the
I
batting.
know he was opening for Victorians, isn't
And
it?
he's still as parsimonious as ever, 4 overs 21 for no wicket. And Moeen Ali, 4 overs 28 for two. So in the helpful conditions, they're doing really well. And in spite of having big names like, Andre Russell and so on, and Mustafizur Rahman, right, Leighton Das, Tauhid Hriday, lot of big names, Comilla Victorians ended up short, but it can happen, right? So, but another nice tournament and a good preparation for all of these teams who have this setup and this, big tournaments. It's a good prep, like India with IPL and so on, right? Even US, sorry, UK with 100 or, their own T20 competition.
That's
Let's
right.
see if that really means they are in form, Pakistan with PSL and so on. So from there, we move on to Indian domestic circuit where the Ranji Trophy is about to, reach the climax. So the two semi-finals were underway. One of them is still sort of in the balance, but the other one ended very decisively. Were you able to catch up the two semi-finals, Sandeep?
I mean, Mumbai was, I mean, they basically thrashed Tamil Nadu, isn't it? So, match was over within very quickly. Shardul Thakur got a century in the for Mumbai, so that was quite remarkable from him. I mean, I was disappointed with the Shreyas Iyer not getting much again. I think he was out for very low score. And I mean, I was a bit surprised when Iyer was actually dropped from the Indian team. I thought he didn't get enough chances, but it looks like there is more to it than what meets the eye, isn't it? I mean, probably some attitude problems or whatever. I don't think he enjoys the confidence of the team management in India at the moment. So, whatever the reason, I don't think he's done himself much favors by not initially not wanting to play and then now not doing much when he got the chance to play as well. So that's so. I mean, Mumbai, another Ranji Trophy final.
Yes.
How many Ranji Trophy finals have they played? God knows,
I don't know, 40
fifty.
plus, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Mumbai play their Kudus cricket. They convert half opportunities. It very much felt like that, New Zealand Australia game where Australia kept batting on and on and on. It was a direct parallel there for me.
Yeah.
But more pressing matter was, did Tamil Nadu choose wrong by batting first?
Yeah.
That is the real question for me. I don't know if you have any thoughts, because the Tamil Nadu coach attacked their captain saying, I don't know what he was thinking. It happened to them that they got bowled out twice, right?
Do they not have the discussion beforehand about what to do when they win the toss or anything like that?
Probably they did.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, sometimes captains do go against what's been discussed with the management. Simply because you see something either in the eye of the opponent or on the pitch that moment, you're made captain because you're also allowed to trust your own gut.
Yeah.
It'll not be as formulaic as all that because, well, you wear it. If something goes wrong, you wear it. And they were 146 all out because there was some moisture in the pitch. Thakur himself took two. Tushar Deshpande, three. And Mushir and Tanush, the spinners, also chipped in properly.
Yeah.
So I think it was a blip in the batting because they were batting so strongly with good form from Sai Kishore, Indrajit, Sai Sudarshan, all of these people, right? And people like N. Jagadishan, if they come good, they can take the game away from you. So with such a batting top order, I would actually back Tamil Nadu. Also Pradosh Ranjan Paul, right? All of these were strong people, strong performers.
Yeah.
In the end, it was Vijay Shankar, Washington Sundar, the all-rounders who saved their blushes. And a very nicely named Mohammad Mohammad. They have a player called Mohammad Mohammad. So he chipped in a little. But then, you see, it was still tough. So Mumbai rode it out. So Mumbai also were not doing very well when they slipped to 91 for 4 or 96 for 5, right? Yeah. 106 for 6, 106 for 7. So from that point on, it could have been anybody's game.
Yeah.
There they blinked. Very much like what we discussed in the New Zealand game. Yeah. And Hardik Tamore, Thakur and Tushar Deshpande really... And Tanush Kotian. So, you know, these two, Kotian and Tushar Deshpande...
Centuries, number 10 and 11, isn't it?
They were the form batsmen, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that they're coming in at 10 and 11. That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? And they proved that. And Thakur made 100. So, Thakur again showed class. So, this is a big, big deal because we are heading into a Sena country touring summer. There is a T20 World Cup. But then Thakur has again put down a marker saying, you should take me as your bowling all-rounder, no matter where you go, right, in Sena countries. That's good to see. But then, okay, Tamil Nadu probably made a mistake and there was not enough chance for them to come back because what I like is Mushir Khan also bowls well and Shams Mulani came to you know, party, took a 4-4. He's a solid left-arm spinner, sort of. At his age and sort of his experience, he's one of those people that's actually tipped to take over from Jadeja in the long term because he can also bat very well. So it's nice to see these people sort of standing up when it comes to the knockouts in the national competition. Now, coming to the other semi-finals, so the Maharashtra, MP versus Vidarbha.
Very tantalizingly poised, that one, isn't it? I mean, I think it was a good comeback from Vidarbha in the... first of all, they got all out for very low score, 170 something, isn't it? And then Madhya Pradesh got off to a great start. And then, I mean, was it somebody opener got a century, isn't it? Mantri, he got a century. And then the Vidarbha got them all out for 250. And then the second innings, they batted so well, Vidarbha, to get 400 runs. Yash Rathod getting a century and Wadkar getting a 70-odd.
Solid contributions throughout and they made a real game out of it. I mean, fourth innings anywhere in the world doesn't matter. Chasing, you know, 300 plus is very tough. So they should be given the credit. But, you know, Avesh Khan bowled his heart out.
Yes,
right?
He did.
And now, well... let's just hope he doesn't have to bat. But it might very well come to that because 93 runs, 4 wickets in hand. Just at the close of, very close to close of play, Yash Dubey got out for 94.
That's right, yeah.
So if he had stayed over, even if the other batsman, Sarash Jain, had got out, it was probably not as damaging. It could very well be over in the next half hour because, you know, game within a game, Umesh Yadav is bowling from Vidarbha.
Yeah.
Right? And he has something to prove as well. He's not a spent force, just like he might be able to put down a marker there.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Let's see if, you know, Umesh is always chosen in India home tests, one-off tests, you know. He's the lone fast bowler, but with Siraj coming up, his sort of chances have receded. He might want to show what he can do. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Let's see if, you know, it'll be Vidarbha or MP. But in the finals against Mumbai, who would you back?
I know. Mumbai. I mean, it's not for no reason that they've won Ranji Trophy more than 30 times, 40 times. I don't know. But yeah, it's incredible record.
Let's just hope whichever team comes up against Mumbai, they do their best and may the best team win.
Yeah.
Right. Now, there's one more news. You pointed it out before we started, of course, that Marais Erasmus, the celebrated South African umpire, he's going to call time on his international umpiring career. He's now 61, right?
Yes.
Are going to turn 61 shortly. And that means it's sort of reaching a retirement age when it comes to many professions.
Yeah.
And well, he's going to stand in this Australia-New Zealand test. And that will be his last. So, thoughts that you would have? Maybe you have some memories on this man?
Yeah, I mean, he's been around for a good 15 years now. So, he's been part of the, I mean, elite panel of umpires for quite a while. I think he won the ICC award 3 times. So that's quite...
All right. That's quite serious. Yes.
Yeah. So good recognition. I mean, it's difficult these days to gauge how good an umpire is. And I mean, they are under so much scrutiny. With all the TRS overturning their decisions and people pointing out that they're not that good. And,
But
I mean, they also get a lot of decisions right as well. And that goes almost unnoticed.
I mean, what we saw, right, with Dharmasena.
Yeah.
They have been actually standing up and showing how important good umpiring is almost.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you do, I mean, after all, they're humans as well. I mean, batsmen make mistakes, bowlers make mistakes, fielders make mistakes, umpires do make mistakes as well. So they're human at the end of the day. I think, as I said, I mean, the TRS and all those things have put them under a lot of scrutiny. There is a lot of pressure. And it is not a surprise that they sometimes play it safe by requesting a review for almost everything, really. So
no, Rod Tucker was the other umpire, but I think they held up their end of the bargain in those tests, in these, you know, Asian conditions tests. Lot more appeals, probably lot more close catching chances.
Yeah, that's right. I think Pakistan fans will have a grudge against Marais Erasmus because of the no ball that he signaled for Kohli in the T20 match. If you remember the World Cup where the full toss was quite high. That's right. And the no ball was given for Kohli and then India won the match. So,
I remember it led to some amount of controversy.
Yeah, so they might have some grudges against Marais Erasmus. But I mean, good career. So he's retiring now and looking forward to life after umpiring. I think he's still going to do some umpiring in domestic.
SA20 maybe.
That's right.
Tournament. Yeah,
that's right. And he said that he's going to do some mentoring as well, which is quite good.
Exactly.
So, wish him a great career for the rest of his life, really. Yeah.
Well-earned retirement. Former player, fast bowler, now turned umpire, did yeoman service. It's always on a thankless job. We already discussed it. So, let's hope, you know, he earns his rest and takes it well.
Yeah.
Well done, Mr. Erasmus, and good luck going forward. Yeah. Those were all the news items that we had planned for this episode. Yeah. Thanks once again, Sandeep, for a very, you know, detailed chat. I think some of those topics we went deeper than we had imagined, but it was, for me, very useful. It's appeared very nice to have this chat. So let's hope the listeners also found it equally fulfilling.
Sure.
Would you have anything to plug?
No, I mean, as you introduced me, I mean, I appear on the Cricket Slouch with SP. Quite regularly. And and you can also find me on Twitter at sportsfans3791 is my handle. So I do tweet occasionally. So not a prolific tweeter, but some important things I do tweet every now and then. So so that's where you can find me.
Well, you sort of... add some very relevant points. You follow some of us who tweet and, add some things. It's always nice to have you chip in from time to time. Thanks once again. And we would also like to thank our listeners. I mean, without whom we would not be here, right? What you already pointed out. We wish to have their company in the coming episodes as well. We wish them a good day wherever they may be listening from. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Podcast Network.